Hey, Mystic Michaela, spiritual family, welcome to Know Your Aura with Mystic Michaela. Today, I am talking about triggers that occur when you are a parent, triggers that your children give you. And I'm going to talk about them in aura color, a different way to see how our issues can be separated just from what normal kids do, and how these triggers can be seen as gifts for us to learn a little bit more about ourselves. But first, hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys. All right, before we get into your topic.
Yes.
I have to say, I had an epiphany.
You had a revelation.
A revelation.
Like a light bulb literally went off and above you. Not
quite. I've been talking about this revelation so much since we've been home from our trip.
Yeah.
That I don't even know. I can't even remember who I told, when I talked about it. I might have even said this on the podcast already. I can't even remember.
That's how much I've been talking. You've been rambling about it.
Yes, I've been talking about it so much. Now, let me preface everything by saying I am a slow learner. I am a very slow learner. You know, sometimes you talk auras with people and they get it right away.
Yeah.
Like, you have one conversation with them and they understand everything about it.
Yeah.
I've been doing this with you for a very long time, mm-hmm. and I still don't get it, everything. You know, I get a lot of this stuff, but there's still stuff I don't understand. And you'd always tell me I didn't have any green in my aura. I never had any green.
Right.
I've only ever been red and blue.
You always wanted to be green, and you're always like, you sure I'm not a green?
Yeah. I just want to borrow the green for a little bit.
Sure.
That's it. Just to try it on, and then I want to give it back. But,
right.
But yes, that is correct. And I always thought because – you know, I like to go hiking and I love the national parks and, you know, I love animals and all those things that I had to have some green in there somewhere. Even if it was just like sparkles, like you sometimes say green sparkles or yellow sparkles.
Yeah.
And, you know, I knew the words what you were saying and I got it, like, but I didn't get it. Like I got it, but I didn't get it.
Yeah.
And I finally got it.
I saw when you got it.
I got it.
I saw the moment you understood.
Yes. So we were on our road trip to Buffalo, which mm-hmm. we took, and we were on the way back actually from the road trip from Buffalo. And we stopped at the national park in South Carolina.
Congagee
National Park, one of the newer national parks. And we were on a hike, and there was this guy who definitely was green. And he had a baby strapped to his body.
He had a baby backpack.
Baby backpack, right.
Complete with baby.
Yeah, without every gadget you can think of.
Yeah.
And he had the whole look, the whole outfit. And he stopped. And he was stopped on the trail, and we were coming like towards him.
He had a wife and a dog.
Right.
Too.
And a wife and a dog and the whole thing.
Right.
And he's just looking. And he's looking, I don't know, at some bug or some branch or flower. I don't even know what
he's mesmerized. He's locked
mesmerized
by
this.
He's focused.
Yeah, he's taking photos. He's looking at it from every angle. And we're walking by and the wife is telling him, come on, let's go.
Yeah.
And he doesn't even hear it.
He doesn't hear her.
Let's go. And
she wasn't mean about it. She was just, it looked like.
No, she wasn't mean about
this
it.
This is her life.
It was her life. Yeah.
Yeah.
And. And then, in that moment, I just like was kind of like I stopped in my tracks, and it was just like, okay, I get it. I finally get it. That's not me.
Right.
That's never going to be me.
Yeah.
That's not why I'm doing the hike.
Yeah.
Like that was the reason why he was doing that hike. That's why sometimes they say this hike might take 4 hours or might take a half hour.
Right. Right.
Right. I'm the half hour guy on the hike.
Yeah.
Because so then I thought, well, now let me see why I'm doing this hike, you know, what, you know, and that's the red.
Yeah. The real motivation. What is it?
Yeah. And what the real motivation is, I mean, the real one now is just to make sure I can do it.
Yeah.
That's like my biggest thing.
Like the challenge.
The challenge. I have to make sure I could do it. I have to make sure I could even do it like the harder trail. Like it's funny because whenever we do these trails, I always pick the opposite, the harder way to go.
You do. You go, usually, yeah.
I always go the contrarian way. No matter when it is, where the trail is, I always go the opposite way.
Yeah, there's an advised way to do a trail. And like for some reason, you always pick the opposite way.
I always pick the other way. Because there's always, you know, when you're doing a trail, there was that fork. And I always pick the opposite way. Every time without fail. I mean, the most famous one, just a little off topic, we're at Acadia National Park.
Yes.
We were younger. There's a beehive. It's a very famous trail.
Oh my God.
You do it one way, really easy. You know, not really easy,
but
easy. You do it the other way, it's terrifyingly frightening.
No, literally, like, you do it the way we did it.
Right.
It's death.
Death.
Like, there, I will never forget this one part. You thought it was not a ledge, and you kept walking.
Yeah.
Remember that?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, because there's a ladder right. down a rock face.
Right.
That's what it is. And we went down the ladder right. instead of up.
Yeah.
The ladder,
yeah.
and that is not a good idea.
Yeah, we whatever it was, we went the wrong way. And everyone did. Else is, like, smiling and happy
yeah.
and having a great time.
We're like, why are we, like, then, really, really out of shape and breath here?
Yeah, and then I finally realized, oh, you were supposed to do it that way.
Yeah.
But, and yeah, and so that was my huge epiphany, and I realized yeah. that, you know, what I'm doing, you know, I like the challenge of, like, mapping it out and figuring out the route to take and all that kind of stuff and the challenge of it all. And that's totally different than why the green guys are there. Not
yeah.
to say any, the green guys don't like that. I don't want to, typecast
the green orcs.
Right, I don't want to typecast the green orcs.
Right.
But I finally realized, you know, there's no way that's going to ever be me. Never was me. And epiphany.
Yeah, I saw you in that moment because I was seeing him too, just locked on, I think, a bug or something.
Yeah.
And he was just in a, like, a whole different space. Just
yeah.
And you felt him, attention. And we walked around him. Because they were going to be there a while, and
yeah.
you were just like, I heard you under your breath, you're like, whoa, I get it, like that. And I'm like, yeah, see, you know, it's an energy you picked up.
Yeah, I picked up the energy, and the wife just kind of, like, I could tell.
Yeah, she's like, okay.
All right, that's how she's dealing with a green guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just a different.
Just like how you have to deal with a red guy.
Right. Like, we all.
Like, you had to deal with me, who went off trail, because it was like this boardwalk trail, which everyone was doing. And then there's this off trail that you could go
right.
like through like a muddy path or something. So you guys have to deal with
yeah,
me
knew.
Saying, I got to get off this
right.
trail. But
we do the extra and the through something
right.
and the more challenge or whatever.
Right.
But okay, that's interesting. So I'm glad you understand what I've been talking about.
Yeah.
Again, like, only you can tell you who you are.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
that is very important with the aura thing. Like, these are awesome guides and lenses, but
right.
it's really only you.
And it's interesting because we... And it's funny because I finally got it after all these years, but we're doing, I'm helping. You do the aura workshop.
Yes.
And this is, like, one of the themes
yeah.
that's been coming up, and you've been in teaching about it.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny, the one example that is the pinks. Like, so,
oh, right.
you know, because you're doing a lot of childhood auras
right.
in there and all that stuff. And, you know, some people thinking, oh, I'm a pink kid. Wasn't I a pink kid? Or wasn't
right.
And this, I have a way that you could figure out if you're pink or not. This is very fast. You do not need Mystic Michaela.
No.
All you need is three pinks. If you have four or five pinks, even better. Okay. So what you do is you take the four or five pinks, you put them in a room, or let's say you go out to dinner. Then you go to that dinner. Within 30 seconds, you will know.
You'll just know.
You'll just know if you're pink or not.
So you're saying, if you want to know if you're pink or not,
yes.
go hang out with pinks.
Right.
You know, that's kind of like, everyone's like, oh my gosh, I feel like I'm 18. You know, I feel like I'm 18. I'm 18. Inside, I'm 18. It's like, until you hang out with 18-year-olds, then you're like, I am super not 18. You know, like, okay, I'm not
right.
that.
Yeah, so you do
and
that,
and I think,
you
like,
will
you
know.
Do it with pinks.
Yeah.
Like, go hang out with three of them.
Right.
Just see how it goes.
Yeah.
You'll know very soon.
Exactly. That you're not pink. Or you are pink.
Or you are.
You might be pink.
Or
yeah.
you're like, oh my God, this makes sense. You know.
Or you might be like, what am I doing here?
Yeah.
How do I get out of this?
I think that's funny. I think like yeah. a lot of us do deal with that. Like with yellows. I remember because, you know, being a teacher, when I was a teacher, a lot of yellows. And I just wanted to be them so bad.
Right.
You know, I was like, okay. And then I would just pick up their behaviors. Like, I'll just do this. Oh, they did this. I'll do this. Oh, that didn't make me yellow. That made me like really stressed out all the time, you know? So sometimes adopting other people's energies, you can feel when you're doing it. It's not authentic to you. But yeah, I love doing this workshop's been really fun. Well, let's get into it. And talk about some aura parenting triggers. Scott, I've
yeah.
been noticing that you've been smelling real good lately.
Yeah, well, I know when to loomy.
You do?
Yes. You know, the other day I was out trying to get coconuts out of our tree.
Yeah.
And it's a really hard job. You got to get this like big stick and get these coconuts out of the tree. It's sweaty. And, you know, I'm getting all, you know,
yeah.
kinds of smells.
All smells.
But I used the Lumi.
Yeah.
And you didn't even know.
You didn't
even know I was coconutting the other day.
I didn't smell a thing.
You did not know I was coconutting. Other than all the juice was all over my body. But,
yes.
Yeah. But that's another story.
Yeah. I really like Lumi because I don't really know where to go from that. I'm stuck in the vision with you, with Lumi and all over your body and coconut water.
You understand, there's like these coconuts and you have to break them. And when you break them, they crack. So yeah. Like, because I don't have like a machete to do it. So I just crack them on the cement and then all the juice starts coming out, but I want to drink the juice. So it gets all over my, you know, I just start drinking it. It's all over.
Sounds like someone's fantasy. Oh, no. I don't know. This list sounds like a fantasy.
What is this an ad for? Is it for Lumi?
This is for Lumi. Okay. I like Lumi's body wash.
Me too.
Yeah, I've been getting into Lumi's body wash lately. It smells really good. And, you know, Lumi is a whole body deodorant. Lumi is safe to use anywhere on your body. I really love that because I'm really sensitive. So you can use it in your pits, your under boobs, your thigh folds, your belly buttons, your butt cracks, vulvas, and feet. It was created by an OBGYN. She saw how normal BO just kept getting misdiagnosed and mistreated. And so she made this, and it's clinically proven to block odor all day and control odor up to 72 hours. It's baking soda free, paraben free. It's pH balanced for safe use below the belt. They have great, clean, fresh, bright scents like clean tangerine, lavender sage, toasted coconut. And Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice, like mini body wash or deodorant wipes, and free shipping. And as a special offer for listeners, new customers get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code. And if you combine the 15% off with the already discounted starter pack, that equals over 40% off their starter pack. Use code AURA for 15% off your first purchase at LumiDeodorant.com. That's code AURA at LumiDeodorant.com. I wanted to talk about parenting triggers in aura color. If you have kids and, you know, even thinking about yourself as a child and how your parents may have reacted to you. Triggers are something that I feel are gifts. They are gifts that children give us, that you gave your parental figures as well. They expose a part of you that needs help, that needs to put a little spotlight upon so that we can heal it and fix it if we approach it correctly. Disclaimer, I am not a mental health professional at all. I see colors around people. So today when I talk about triggers, I'm talking about them strictly from an energetic perspective, how we deal with what triggers us. So keep that in mind, because I truly do understand that we have our own traumas and we react to them sometimes quite viscerally. And, you know, for example, something happened to you when you're a child and your children will not be going to sleepovers. Like, that is a trigger for you. That's not happening. Like, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about how you respond and how your response looks like in aura color. And also some things that you might be triggered by simply because you're the aura color that you are. You're the energy that you are. I don't want to say I'm keeping it surface, because I think a lot of these can really hit us in different ways. But I am saying keep it in the context of you will be different and there is a uniqueness to how you handle things. So I don't want to generalize or brush over anything truly upsetting that's happened to anybody. I just want to talk about it in aura color today, because I really feel like triggers are gifts in a lot of ways when we talk about them in this way. I will start with a story of my own life. My oldest, who's 15 now, when she was like 18 months old, I was like, okay, I have to take her to a playgroup. And there was this twice a week playgroup at the YMCA. And I will forever be grateful to this playgroup and to the YMCA for allowing me a context as a new mom to figure this out. Okay. Because I took her, and all the other, it was an 18 month play group. So all the kids were like the same age, and my little Breezy, who's a purple red, and she, did not want to share. Okay. And she didn't give a crap. Like, she was the type of kid where, and this is my first child, right? So I didn't know any different. And she was the type of kid where she literally would, everybody, there was a pile of crayons on the table. And she was like, these are mine. Like, she just like took them and was like, these are mine. And the other kids were like, can I have green? You know, like they're 18 months old, you know? And she was like, nope. And she threw them once. She had full-on temper tantrums. The other kids were like, what's up with you? You know, in their 18-month-old faces, like, are you all right? You know, like she was just very defiant and she was not into group activities. Like she wanted to be in charge. She wanted to do her own thing. If everybody was, okay, we're doing a race, we're running across the gym and we're all going to be puppies. She was like, I'm not doing that. Like, and she would just do her own thing. Here's the thing. I'm an indigo purple, right? So I'm very indigo. I'm a new mom and I can feel other people's feelings as my own. So immediately I'm feeling like a failure as a mother. My kid's not fitting in. She's yelling. She's screaming. She's in temper tantrums. She's not sharing crayons. She's not interacting with anyone. If anybody tries to talk to her, she can be a little not super nice. And I'm taking it in. They must all think I suck. They must all think I'm the worst. They must all think I'm doing something wrong. They must think I'm spoiling her. They must think da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So I'm feeling everything. And that was a huge trigger for me that my kid wasn't kind, fitting in, and doing what the other kids were doing. That was a huge trigger for me as an indigo and somebody who definitely likes to be invisible and not noticed and go with the flow and not somebody who can feel other people's reactions. I got the biggest reaction in the entire room as a mother because everyone was like, oh. And then she became like the project. And this is where the community comes in, which I'll always, like I said, I'll never not be grateful for the moms who were there and the teacher who was leading it. Everyone was like, we're doing this together. We're going to work with her. It's fine. And I stuck with it. And I didn't know what was going on at the time. Now I understand I was just working through my own issues. She was fine. She was just being her and she was feeling herself and she was learning and everyone was kind about it and they were helping me get through it. And I got through an indigo trigger. I was like, because of that, I learned that, you know what? She's going to take me out of my comfort zone as a mom, as a person, and I'm going to grow here. I'm going to be okay with not fitting in. Like I'm going to be okay with standing out. I'm going to be okay with feeling other people's feelings about me and not internalizing it. So I'm very thankful to my daughter for that. I'm very thankful for the YMCA group. And on the last day of the play group, they like one by one, like they came up to me and they were like, you're doing really good. Good job, mom. She's just like, and I was like, thank you. You know, I'm like 27. I was like, thank you. You know, they knew, they saw me and they gave me a lot of validation. Anyways, I'm thankful to my kid for that because she gave me a beautiful gift, an opportunity. And that opportunity was to fix myself, okay? Like she's just being a kid and I could have taken that personally and I did and I could have, but I got through it, you know? So that's what we're talking about today. We're talking about how our children can present us with triggers that are certainly very challenging for our own personal energy types and how that can be such a gift for us. Parenting triggers happen when our child's behavior causes us to feel suddenly angry, hurt, or helpless, when children may cry or whine or cause a scene or put up a fight about something. And it can happen, and if you're a mom or dad or parental figure, like, this has happened to you, okay? Like, instead of responding supportively, we can just withdraw or react. We can yell. We can get upset. We can cry. We can feel like a victim. We can just respond without thinking. And like I said, I really believe that these triggers from our kids are their gifts to us. And honestly, your triggers to your parents were their gifts to them. Whether they dealt with them appropriately or not, that's not on you. You know, children have a way of making us stand in our truth. And that is a gift from them. That is a gift from them because they're not all marred from society yet. They just do them. They're pure energy. And they're encouraging you to reevaluate how you deal with your energy and how you've been programmed to act differently than perhaps you should. So kids, they will poke and prod energetically in the spaces they know they can get to you. Your kid knows you best, and they know exactly where your weak spots are. And it's not to make you feel like some terrible person. It's so you can see it and heal it. And I do believe it's their gift to you, and it was your gift to your parental figures too. So I do a lot of readings, and I love to see your families. It's always very insightful. Just recently, I was reading a woman, and she was like mid-30s, and she was blue-yellow. And so she had a blue and yellow aura. And then she gave me a picture of her and her mom, you know, like recently, and there was no blue in her aura. Like this lady was, I'm like, whoa, you look, where'd the blue go? Like she was all yellow in this picture. It was like her and her mom, and they were smiling. It was a perfectly nice photo. She had no blue in her aura in that photo. And I'm like, whoa, okay. Immediately, like I can pick it up because the mom was super blue and purple. So let me explain that all. So basically, this is what I got from that picture. Mom had a lot of feelings. Mom's super, super blue. Okay. And the daughter is yellow blue. So as a kid, what was going on? You know, I feel like mom's trigger was if there was something happening as a, so this is her mom, right? I feel like when my client was a little girl, mom was feeling a little insecure, as we all can, about her success as a parent and her abilities as a parent. And what do kids have? Kids have emotional issues. They have problems. They cry. They're kids, right? I feel like mom took anything that wasn't perfect as some sort of slight against her. So if daughter is having some sort of problem, immediately mom's like making it about herself. Oh my gosh, I very victim blue. So, oh, what did I do? Oh, it's my fault. Oh, I should have done this for you. I should have done that for you. Was I not a good enough mom? Did I not do this? Did I do that too? So how did the daughter learn how to deal with that? She decided the solution is, this is super subconscious, but the solution was, I don't have problems then. So for her, having a blue aura herself, the daughter, was a trigger for her mom. So when the daughter was feeling, as we do, feelings without solutions, it's okay when your kids have feelings without solutions. Like you don't have to always solve it. You can just be there and help them and hold their hand. Mom took that when daughter had emotions as some sort of bad mark against her parenting. And so the daughter learned that in relationships, we hide our blue, and especially around mom, or in relationships, we don't need anything. We don't have problems. We're always okay. I show my love by always being okay. And what issues was this lady having in her life now as a 30-something-year-old woman? She was having a really hard time letting someone in romantically. She was having a really hard time receiving from other people. For a couple of reasons. One, because it's so exhausting to deal with somebody else's measuring their own self-worth and success against how you're doing today all the time. And two, because it feels weird to let someone in because you're afraid that that's going to upset them. Super subconscious, but something that was coming up. And just basically, you know, and I should have said this before, this episode is not to attack your parents. And it's not to attack you if you're a parent, like at all. We're humans. We do our best. We do our best. We do. I really feel that. So this isn't like to attack you or make you feel bad. It's just kind of an awareness and an understanding. And I think like after we talked about this with her mom being blue-purple and maybe not feeling at comfort with her own ability to handle reality, we understand that mom was just doing her best too. And kind of seeing it and understanding like, oh, mom just... She feels so bad about herself that I had to put away any problems I had so that I could show her that she was doing a good job. Like once you see that, it's all just love from everybody, just maybe misplaced a little bit. Then it's easier to be like, oh, all right, I'm not gonna let that affect me anymore moving forward. Because that was a trigger to mom when she felt like she wasn't able to handle things. So the daughter just responded energetically by not having things to handle, you know? So it's just, if we see it that, I hope that makes sense. So mom's trigger was emotion, because emotion to mom meant I'm not doing a good job. Yeah. And then I had, you know, a purple aura mom, super purple. I was reading this lady. She was a mom. She had young kids, purple. She's blue too. And major issues in her own life with being purple. Like, she felt all the purple things, like disorganized. Why can't I have a consistent career? I'm not contributing enough to the family. Why can't I focus on one thing at a time? I'm very inconsistent. Like, you know, comparing herself to other moms too. Like, I'm not organized like they are. I forget things. I'm kind of last minute. I don't have the structure going that other people do. So she was really kind of purple shaming herself. Instead of seeing it, you know, the good things she does, she was really focusing on the negative things from comparison. And then one of her kids, or one of her little girls, was a purple kid, like really purple. And this kid was, she was purple. She was like 6 years old. She's wearing what she wants. Okay, that's like a big purple kid thing. It's snowing outside? No, I'm wearing short sleeves. It's like, no, you can't, because then all the other moms will think I stink. Okay, well, I'm wearing short sleeves. And there's like no way, you know, just that kind of stuff. And just being a little defiant and taking advantage of her mom's lack of schedule and real good, you know, doing all. So it was like purple aura triggers. Because and she would speak her mind. This little girl would definitely speak her mind. She's like, I like this. I don't like this. I don't want to hang out with this person. I'm not going to give Uncle So-and-so a hug. Like, she just wasn't playing the game. And this mom I was reading, she was so triggered by it. She's like, oh my gosh, you know. And I told her, I'm like, I feel like these are all the things that you didn't get to do. You know, like these are all normal. This is just your kid being a kid. And she's fine, but why does it bother you? And then she was seeing all the ways she had repressed herself. And then when she would let the purple out, she would talk negatively about it. And she would see it as negative things instead of spinning it to the more positive things that energy brings. Because that's all she was taught to do. And anytime she was supposed to be herself, it was shamed. So she just learned to shame herself. Now she's got a kid that's very much enacting all the qualities of her that she's repressed, and she feels out of control. How am I going to fix it? And it's something that she didn't want to shame her kid. She didn't want to do that, but it was something that kept coming up. So she really understood that. And I told her, and this is for all of you too, like, if you can create an environment where your kid can feel comfortable enough to be themselves, you're doing a great job. Because kids are just kids. So if her daughter was like, I know you'll still love me if I wear my short sleeve shirt out today when it's not the weather for that, you're doing something good. You know, you got to look at it that way too. Like, I guess they feel comfortable to be themselves, you know? So I feel like this is where I'm going with this episode today. Where you're triggered, why it's happening, and what it kind of reflects back in you that you can overcome now. All right, so I wanted to go through each of the aura colors. And like I said, today I'm keeping it to the aura reactions. But this goes so much deeper because you may have triggers in your life that are very traumatic, but you can think of to yourself too, like, how am I responding to this via my aura color? And I hope that makes sense. But I'm going to keep it kind of to aura color now so we can all relate. A consistent body care routine, that's self-care for me. I mean, that boosts my mental health. I love giving my skin a glow up with Osea's clinically proven seaweed-infused skincare that provides results you can see and confidence you can feel. And right now, you can get 10% off your first order with our code KYA at OseaMalibu.com. I use Osea Everything. And once you start, you'll understand why. I highly recommend their Mega Moisture Duo. It is two of their best sellers. It's the Undaria LJ Body Oil, which is just a delight. It is just a delight. And the Undaria Collagen Body Lotion. And using them after I shower, whenever my skin's feeling parched, in the morning before I go out, I have noticed just my skin's moisture improve, a youthful glow, and it really targeting any of those crepey areas or skin areas that just don't look so great. And over time, it's improved my self-confidence with wearing a little less. You can glow from the inside out with clean vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code KYA at OseaMalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60. Head to OSEAMalibu.com and use code KYA for 10% off. So let's talk about blues and indigos. Yes, I know you hate when I lump you together, but I'm lumping you together, blues and indigos, for the parenting thing. All right. I think like a blue indigo trigger as a parent is other people's, and again, if you're not a parent, think of yourself, and either way, think of yourself when you were a kid and think about how you may have, how your own parents may have been a little triggered in their own parenting by you. It's just something to think about. Not in a way, like I said, to bash them, just in a way to be like, oh, okay, that might have affected me then because that was a real issue for my mom or my dad. Okay, but let's say you're blue indigo. So blue indigo parents are very affected by other people's thoughts, opinions, and emotions, kind of like my story I just told about me and my daughter. And, you know, it can get to this point, if you're not aware of it, where you feel like your kid has to be emotionally okay all the time and fit in and not stand out and not make kind of a splash, meaning not have a temper tantrum in the middle of Costco. Like, you can, instead of being, you know, you can take that very personally, like, oh my God, everybody thinks I'm terrible. And then you can be like, and I am terrible. So you see how you can move into that. And so you can kind of get triggered and be like, okay, my kid's behavior really has to reflect well on me. If they're good, I'm good, that kind of thing. So I feel like triggers examples for blue indigo parents that can really bug them if your kid doesn't say thank you, if they don't give hugs, if they're not giving like love, if they're not being nice to, you know, family members or whatever, if they're refusing affection from you. My other thing, and this is my own, I'll tell you, this is my own, like when my kids are upset or mad at me, like I can see my, sometimes I gotta watch myself because that really triggers me. I'll be like, oh, they hate me. Oh, and I'll feel like so like lonely. Like, and I'm like, get, I'll talk to myself. And I'm like, get over yourself, Megan. Like, they're just, it's okay. They're, it's okay if they're mad at you. Don't worry about it. Cause then I feel like, was I too mean when I said they couldn't, you know, do something? And it's like, you know, they know, but they just know how to get me that way. Because when you feel excluded from your kid's affection, that can really trigger you. And then if you got kids like mine, they're like, ooh, we know how to get mom to let us have our iPad back. We'll just pretend we don't love her, you know, like that kind of thing. So you got to see, because kids are smart and they'll know how to get you. They'll know where your triggers are. All right, yellows. So I notice yellow aura parent triggers could be, they're very big on your making sure that they're doing everything. Like, are you in the right sports? Are you in the right dance? Do you have the right shoes? Are you like, they really want to show love by giving structure, opportunity, and the best experience they can for their kids. So if the kids just don't care, you know, like, here's dance. I got you best dance class. You got the best dance outfit. The kids like shrug. I don't want to be in dance anymore. It's like, oh, or like, let's say you plan this amazing party. You're like, look, here's a party. We're celebrating this event. All your friends are coming. I made us. And the kids just like, eh, I don't care. Or you're really involved in school. Like, I'm at the PTA. I ran the Halloween trick or treat thing. And your kid's like, I don't want to go. And you embarrass me at school. Oh my God. You know, like the yellows are like, what? I feel like that can really trigger yellows. And the other thing with yellows I can see as a trigger is they see what other parents are doing. And if you know you don't have the time, or you know, you're working and you can't go to school and volunteer every day, I feel like that yellows can really internalize that as, oh my gosh, you know, I stink or something. Or if your kid doesn't want to do all the things that some other you see other parents doing with their kids, you're like, why aren't you doing that? And you can kind of push them a little bit. So I guess like with yellows, a behavior example that would really bug them would be no gratitude to the parent. Like I see yellow aura parents run circles around their kids. They're like, let's do this, setting it all up well. And then the kids can just be like, eh, I don't want to. Like no gratitude, like no, I don't, and then you got to take a step back as a yellow aura and be like, who am I doing this for? Okay. Is this me? Does that trigger me because of something else going on? And how do we be more present with how I could show up differently for my kid because maybe this isn't about them. So it's like the trigger is no gratitude, or if they just have apathy towards what you're doing, you don't have to keep doing it. And then, hey, if you stop and all of a sudden they're like, oh, how come you didn't, you know, pre-order my uniform and my yearbook and da da da. It's like, yeah, you didn't seem to have a lot of care about that. And then get them to start telling you instead of you just doing it. Something to think about. Purple aura parents. Purple auras parents get overwhelmed a lot. This is super me. Like just really overwhelmed. And then you can just react into emotion. And then like 5 minutes after, you're like, ooh, that was a little extra. I don't think I had to do that. And listen, if you're a parent, like you've lost it. My kids joke with me. They're like, oh, mama's had it. Like the mama had it moment. Because I'll be like, really? Cool, 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 cool. And then like, bah-bah! You know, like, or whatever. And they're like, ooh, mama's had it. I think that's a purple aura thing. And then you're like, yeah, sorry, I had it. You know, because you come back, you're like, sorry, guys. That was a little extra. But with purples, I feel like the kids end up telling you what to do a lot when you're a purple aura parent, just because you kind of do need the help because you're a little scatterbrained and they get used to being like, hey, what are you doing? Hey, you forgot this. Hey. And then if it happens enough, you can get really overwhelmed by that because you might have your own issues with feeling insecure about your ability to keep it all together or parent or be organized. And then you can feel like your own inconsistency can bite you, come back and bite you. And it doesn't feel good because you're like, oh my gosh, I'm inconsistent. But you can get triggered by them mentioning it to you so we can kind of take it out on them. So yeah, I think that's the overwhelm and emotion. And then like you're out maybe, and then like your kid's talking to you differently than you hear other kids talking to their parents. Like they might be bossing you around, or they might kind of also act behaviorally a little different than the other kids are because you might not be as consistent all the time. And that's okay. That's just how you are. Like, don't worry about it. But at the same time, I just get like, it's a trigger for purples, and then you can erupt emotionally. So that's the thing to watch out for. Okay, like out of nowhere, you're just like, bah! And then your kid can be like, whoa, like I did that 10 times in a row and you didn't say anything, but like the 11th time you flipped out. So it's just, that's the trigger, overwhelm. All right, reds, red aura parents. I think a big trigger for red aura parents is when your kid is emotional and you don't know how to deal with that. So I just see this a lot with red auras. What happens is you... probably what happened was weren't taught a lot how to deal with your emotions. So you let the red take over. Red usually takes over anyhow when you have that in your aura combination. It's just a really powerful energy. So like, let's say you're red blue and you were taught to kind of like push everything aside and emotions weren't given a lot of time or energy or moments to explore or express itself, you went right to the red. So you can get like really angry, or you can just bottle it up, or you can explode or things like that. So when you have a little kid who's crying, 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 it can be really triggering for the red aura sometimes to not be like, hey, stop it. Get over it. Stop it. Like, I'll give you something to cry about, or even just like, just stop crying. Don't be a baby, you know, things like that. Maybe even not that mean. It just like makes you feel uncomfortable and you're just like, oh God, I don't like how that feels. I don't know how to handle that. Or like, let's say when your child isn't confrontational, I feel like that can really bother red auras too. Like let's say your kid's getting bullied, which it happens. Like, you know, I have two kids. Every once in a while, like your kid will come home and tell you something awful happened to them from another kid. And you see, and I have a red aura husband, and the big thing is like, well, why didn't you do this? And why didn't you do this? And why didn't you do this? Like, because they're not, that's not them, you know, like that's not their jam. Like they're not going to do you and go up to somebody and like, you know, get witty or bully them back or smack them or anything like that. They're going to come home and cry. That's what they're going to do. And that can trigger a red aura because they don't feel like they have control over protecting their kid. Like, I think out of all the aura colors, like, red auras wish they could crawl into their kid's body and do it for them. Although I think yellows would do that too if they could. Like, can I just, like, borrow your body for a day and just get some stuff done? I feel like yellows would definitely do that for different reasons than the red auras. I think the red auras would crawl into their kid's body and, like, tell other people off. And I think the yellow auras would crawl into their kid's body and be like, we got a lot of to-do list things to do today. Like, sign up for all the clubs and get better grades or, like, whatever. Okay. Green aura. Back to the red aura. So the behavior example would be whining. I think whining really can trigger those red auras. I think whining is hysterical. I laugh. I think it's just funny. And sometimes I join in. I like to join in with the whining because sometimes they have a point.
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort, meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today. The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Okay, green auras. Green aura parents. I think a big trigger for green auras is being confronted on their parenting. They don't like that. So they'll withdraw a bit. Another trigger for green aura parents is if their kid isn't measuring up to their own expectations and if you're green and you never figured out how to relate to people that don't relate to you. So as a green, you can be very focused in what you are interested in. Usually kids will want to join in on that. All right. Usually green aura parenting, because this might sound like one of your parents, because I read so many of you who have this issue with a parent. Sometimes this actually just happened recently. Green aura dad, super green, but he's blue, but he presents green. Daughter is like indigo, yellow. And then there's like a son who's like blue, purple. Okay. So the daughter really relates to dad. You know, she gets into what he gets into because she can kind of use that empath color to relate to dad's green. So dad likes fishing. Yeah, sure, I'll fish too. Dad thinks this is a good point. Yeah, I see what you're saying, dad. That's an interesting point. Okay. Dad got used to just doing dad things and having the daughter understand him. So what happened was she kept finding also in her life relationships where she had understood other people completely. And they didn't really understand her completely. And that was starting to bug her. But then the brother, who's blue purple, is pissed at dad, super angry, using his purple to do lots of self-destructive things, like be bad with money or quit a lot of jobs or make stupid choices. This makes dad actually pay attention to the son, but in a negative way. But what the kid is trying to do is actually get dad to be a person, like to step out of himself, to break the wall. With green auras, I feel like green aura parents can have a problem. Sometimes they have a wall up. Not all of you. But if somebody kind of tries to poke or prod or get in there a little bit, and that's your kid, you have to switch a perception or your perspective and kind of understanding somebody else's way of doing things. That's a really good activity for a green. I talk about the 10 commandments of the green, I call it. You know, usually greens, they kind of build up their reality with foundations that make sense to them, and they expect other people to kind of agree with that. So having the ability to be open-minded because your kid is like, well, I think this way, and I'm doing this, and I think that, is a great activity for you, and it's a gift from your child. You can think about things in the way that they think about things, not you just telling them your way, kind of understanding their way too. I would say for green aura parents, a big behavior issue for them is when the kid doesn't listen, when the kid doesn't have a discourse, when the child is vehemently against whatever the green aura is saying. and is apathetic towards what the parent is saying. I feel like that could be a big trigger for the green aura, but it's also a good opportunity to be like, well, what do you think? And listen to that, you know? So anyways, pink aura parents. I notice with pink aura parents, they struggle a lot because they're worried. They're great at playing. They're great at being present. They're great at being in the moment with their kid. They really are. That makes them a lot of fun and whatnot. I find with pink aura parents, a trigger is as the kid grows and the pink aura feels like they're not growing with their child. Meaning the pink aura parent can really do fun things and do the different phases of childhood development with their child. And they're great. And great memories, great support, great fun. But, you know, now the kid is going through something and maybe the pink aura is like, oh, that doesn't resonate with me. I've never been through that. I don't think that that's me. I don't know what to say. As they kind of do things in life that maybe aren't so pink, they can say, oh, gosh. And then it's hard for them sometimes to feel like they're able to contribute anymore. So I feel like with pinks, a big trigger for them is when their kid gets older and their kid starts to do things that feel like how the pink usually feels left out. Because pink auras can feel left out a lot. That's why they like their own like pink aura bubble that they hang out in. And they can feel a little left behind or left out when people kind of do their thing, especially when their friends grow up and whatnot. So when the kid grows up, I think growing up can be a bit of a trigger for a pink aura parent. Just the growing up and just, you know, how kids do different things. Also disrespect. I feel like with pink aura, they hate being disrespected. They really do. So when you have this little kid and, you know, they're like 16 and they're saying something nasty to you, as the teenager will do, pink aura is that. It's a trigger for all of us, but I feel like for pinks, they're like, do not, because they've had this their whole life from society. And so when it comes from your own flesh and blood and your own child, you're like, get out. You know, like it'd be very, very upsetting and can make you go into your joy bubble and shut down. So turquoises. The turquoise parent feels very go with the flow. And I feel like their big thing is, they do march. It depends what your other color is when you're turquoise. Like if you're turquoise purple, you might not care or notice what other parents are doing. When you're turquoise yellow, you're going to have a lot more yellow attributes to your parenting. So it does kind of depend which way you're flowing. If you're green turquoise, you're going to act more green. So let's get this to the turquoise purples a bit. What I notice with turquoise purples is that they're very go with the flow. They don't care what other people are doing. Okay, they don't. They're like school, you know, institutions, things like that. They're not super worried about that. They may find a lot of solace in even like homeschool communities or kind of more parenting communities that are a little more fringe. And that's just where their comfort is because it's probably other turquoise purples. When the kid can have different opinions than the turquoise, it's a little bit like dealing with the greens. Because turquoises love like different opinions and perspectives and stuff like that. As long as they don't feel super different from theirs. Because I do get with turquoise parents, they can be a little bit knee-jerk reactive to feeling judged. So if the kid, when their child's like, but, you know, so-and-so's mom, you know, has them in dance and so-and-so's mom volunteers here and so-and-so's mom, da, 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 I feel like that can trigger the turquoise. Like, don't tell me I'm not doing enough. Don't tell me I'm being like somebody else. So that can trigger them when it's really just the kid noticing something and sharing it with you. All right. So what do we do? All right. These is just like to get you thinking. There's probably a million more, but what do? When we understand why we're upset, I really feel like we can see it in a way in which to grow. And that's really the point of this whole episode. How can we grow? Through the oral lens, perhaps we can see why some things bother us and some things don't bother us at all. Seeing this in yourself can just help you deal with it more appropriately. When you are having interactions with your kids or even with your parents, your parental figures, with your triggers, you know, triggers can, you don't always know what it feels like because it's very subconscious. So you have to kind of pay attention to your body. Does your heart rate spike? Do you feel your stomach drop? Do you feel like your head spinning? Do you feel like really emotional? Do you feel like you want to run away, like a fight or flight kind of thing? Do you feel sweaty or stuck or stressed or frantic? Whatever that is, if you're feeling physical about something, there's a trigger lurking around you. And it's time to stop, take a moment, and ask yourself, ooh, what bothers me? And be prepared for something that you might not want to hear. Because when you ask yourself this, the thing that's triggering you can be extremely vulnerable if you're not used to talking about it with yourself. It can be a little upsetting. You also have to refrain from judging yourself on what the trigger is. Please refrain from judgment, self-judgment. Because I don't want you to sit there and be like, oh, that's so sad. That's so pathetic. Oh my God, no, that can't, like, because that's your ego keeping you from healing it. So do not self-judge about whatever the trigger is. Because it's important. That's the whole point. You never have to react right away. You can just take a breather. It's okay to pause, put a pin in it, and stop. And I just am so grateful for my own children. This is what I say to myself often. I'm so grateful for this moment to heal my own trigger, you know, and they just look at me like, what? And hopefully you can do that too. Because I'm just learning as you are. Parenting is definitely not easy, that's for sure. But I do think that it's a wonderful lens to look at it as a way in which to heal ourselves too. What I learned is prepping meals for the week ahead just makes for an easier life and a happier family and more nutritional options. And with Marley Spoon, I finally found a better way to do that. You know, going food shopping, getting all the ingredients. I mean, it's so time consuming. Marley Spoon, it becomes as easy as anything. This podcast is sponsored by Marley Spoon. Marley Spoon knows that bland food's boring, so they created the best tasting meal kit money can buy. With my code KYA, you can get up to 25 free meals, and they have over 100 delicious recipes every week. Recently, I made the sitar steak with orzo salad. My family went crazy for it. Everybody ate it. It was a new food for some of my kids, and they were just like, okay, let's go. I like this. They wanted to try it. Everyone got on board and excited because with Marley Spoon, it's variety. And also, you're not locked into long-term with them. They have a flexible subscription, which allows you to edit, pause, or cancel your boxes anytime. So experience the most personalized meal kit with Marley Spoon. Head to marleyspoon.com/offer/KYA and use code KYA for up to 25 free meals. That's right, up to 25 free meals with Marley Spoon. One last time, that's marleyspoon.com/offer/KYA for up to 25 free meals. And make sure you use my promo code KYA so they know I sent you. Hey, Scotty.
Hey, guys.
All right. So I'm sure you all have a lot more to add to what I just said. And I'd love to hear your own aura parenting triggers. I think these are really fascinating to discuss. And what's going on with you, Scotty?
All right. So I want to get into another topic. So last week, I mentioned that you went to this drum circle.
I did.
Okay. So I want to discuss that.
Okay.
All right. So let's rewind. We're going back a few weeks now.
We'll go back a little bit.
So one morning, I get up, have my coffee, open the door, and there's a package. Amazon, you know, that's usually every single day. But okay.
So you're like, what now?
Yeah. What is this? What's the next? All right. So I get the package. I open up the package and it's like a kid's drum. I'm the only one awake, but you know, it's like Saturday morning or something. It's a kid's drum. I'm like, what? What is it? Is Abby, you know, I'm like, is Abby joining like chorus or
like,
band
what
or whatever?
Could it be?
Yeah. I have like no idea. I put it down on the table. I'm thinking about it, but I'm like, all right.
You're like, who even knows?
Yeah, what is this? Should I check the Amazon orders? Is this ours? Is this a mistake?
Yeah,
what is this?
All the questions.
Yeah, all the questions. Well, apparently it was yours.
Yeah. And that's when you learned, I'm going to a drum circle.
Right. So, you know, you and some of your crew there, you got Purple Bomb Amanda.
Yeah.
I think she was involved in this nonsense. And Jules, who we finally found her. She was she was lost until the drum circle. She
Know Your Aura podcast of characters here. Yes. Jules, the ghost, she was bait.
She was a sacrifice. Yeah, she was a bait. Sacrifice. She was a sacrifice.
At the haunted house.
At the last haunted house we went to, and she finally got back.
That was good.
Yeah. So
we have Stephanie.
Yeah, Stephanie and Casey. Some couple of yellows.
Our helpful
purples.
Yellows.
Yep. And okay, so there it is. There's this drum.
Yeah.
And you're going to go to this drum circle in Del Rey.
Right.
All right. So, let's go through this.
Okay.
All right. So, what were you thinking going into this?
So, Stephanie found, she's like, let's go to a drum circle, of course, without hesitation. I'm like, yes, let's. And then, and so did everybody else that we just mentioned. Like, no hesitation.
No hesitation. No question.
All of us are like, let's do it.
Okay.
We're all in. And apparently, it's every Wednesday in downtown Delray. So there's a group that just drum circles every Wednesday. Okay. That's all I knew about it going in.
Now, while you guys were just like, okay, fine, let's do this, mm-hmm. I was busy going onto Facebook to see if I could find any information.
You're like, what cult are they joining?
Right. Now, I found a guy who's doing the drum circle. I think I found the wrong guy, though. But he, to me, looked like this was some cult stuff. You know, I saw some pictures,
right?
A lot of dancing, a lot of things going on that could get a little Jumanji-esque. Is what I thought.
That's where your mind always goes.
Jumanji,
I think, like,
Jumanji.
Yeah, like when we went to the sound bath, you had that. Although you're never quite wrong.
Exactly.
That,
exactly.
I'm not saying
exactly.
When you're in doubt, incorrect.
When in doubt, Jumanji.
You stay long enough that I got that vibe.
It was turning into, yes.
Little bit.
Yeah, if you listen to our sound bath episode, you know what we're talking about. There was a couple after the sound bath that was about to.
That you weren't wrong about that. But anyways.
Okay.
Yeah. So we got down there and we all gather and it was early. So, but there were still people there and there was this lady and she was just dancing.
Okay.
And there were drums set up and these were people like with professional drums. Like these are nice drum sets. I don't know anything about drum sets, but they look really nice. They're like hand drum sets and they're big. So I was like, oh, okay. So they're already starting. And there's no kind of music to it. It's just drums.
Just drumming.
That's it. And it's still light out. It's not exactly, it's like around sunset, but not quite. And it's like, okay. And they're forming the circle in the park and there's all sorts of ages, but there's this lady just dancing in the middle. So just remember that.
Okay.
And then, yeah.
Okay. So there's you. You have your kid drum that you bought. Now, did the sacrifice Jules, did she have instruments or were
Jules
you the only one that brought
the pre-K pack? She went on Amazon and got exactly what you'd expect, you know, the drum circle that you had, like, in preschool. If you've ever been to playgroup.
So that'd be like a...
The shakers.
The shaker. Yeah, the shaker.
The tambourine. Okay, the little drums. The little ones. And she... Okay. Like what you'd give little kids.
Like the tambourine with those little two metal things in the slot.
Yeah, it was like these little...
Okay.
It was like the preschool pack.
Did Stephanie and Casey have items or no?
Stephanie had one that I had, kind of like that. Oh, what did Casey have? I forget what Casey had. But Purple Bomb Amanda was really excited because before this, she's like, oh, I bought the best drum on Amazon. It's like a really cool like African drum. And then she got it. And she, of course, didn't check the measurements. It was the size of a Stanley Cup. Like, it was like.
Wait, like the base?
Yeah. Literally it looked the size of a Stanley Cup. Just like, you know, those African drums, like they're like you sit around, like they're as tall as you and you sit. It looked like that, but the size of a Stanley Cup, like an American girl doll sized. Like drum circle drum, like American Girl doll could be like do do do, and it made no noise.
No noise. Okay.
I'll say mine was really good. Me and Stephanie, we had the best ones with
the
kid drums. They were real loud.
They were good. Okay.
But so we set up our towels and whatnot. We're like, all right, well, you know, it's not getting heated up. There's like older people there with coolers. There's people with kids, lots of dogs and whatnot, and it was kind of like gaining momentum as we were sitting there. But we're like, let's go get a cocktail, which we did. And then when we came back, it really got crazy.
Okay, so this is downtown Del Rey.
Yeah.
Okay. And what time would you say this is around when you get the cocktail? Is it light out, dark out?
It's 7 around when we got there-ish, like 6, between 6 and 7.
So still light out now.
Yeah.
And then it's starting to get
dark. But when we get back from the cocktail, it starts getting like really dark.
Okay.
It's dark. And now it's like, whoa. And poor Purple Bomb Amanda was like, I really chose the wrong day to wear flip-flops because I intuitively knew to wear sneakers.
Okay.
Everybody else had like bare feet though. So, but this is like city grass. Okay. So there's dogs, there's people. It's like a little patch in the middle of a city.
There's dogs.
Of course. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And okay. Like there's a lot. You don't know what you're stepping on. It's kind of like a used carpet that nobody ever washes unless it rains. Right. You know what I mean? It's just kind of gross. Here's the deal. I'm purple. So I'm like, this is cool. You know, it was like people with firelights and twirling batons. That lady that I told you, she was still dancing.
Still going.
She was not stopping, but there were more people. The more people with drums, the beats were really loud now. The energy was really big. And then there's dancing in the center. And people are taking their shirts off. Oh,
so it is Jumanji time.
Well, no, it's just like, it's kind of like what you wear at the beach, but in a circle like that. So people are just not wearing a lot of clothes, and they're doing kind of like this dance, like with their arms up in the air, and they're like, ha, 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 that.
Okay.
That was the dance, ha, ha, ha. And then Casey is like, just goes for it.
She went in there.
Yeah, and she made like a friend.
Okay.
And that, but then he started following her.
Was
and
she
trying
saying,
to,
huh, huh, huh?
Yeah, she was going, she's like, huh, I'm going to huh, do huh. it. She did it.
Okay.
She did it for a little bit, but then like one of the weird people came out and followed her, and then we had to shoo him away. We're like, go away now. Okay. He kept trying to throw.
So she made a friend in the drum circle.
Yeah, she made a friend in the drum
doing
circle.
Doing the, huh, huh, huh.
Very friendly crew. Very
was
inclusive.
He, doing, huh, huh,
he was
huh.
like, huh, huh, huh. But it,
is that something?
It was, no? I don't know. Okay. This, we're just, you just do what everybody's
okay.
doing.
Okay.
But he followed her out, and then we had to shoo him away. We're like, oh, wait, no, okay. Because he tried to play Frisbee with her with his hat. I don't know. It got weird.
Okay.
Anyways, that's the crew. Now, I'm purple. I'm like, cool. Go for it. This is great. You know what I mean? But I'm also indigo, so I'm like, but I'm going to stay back here.
Right.
You know?
Please.
Everyone else did. Did Amanda dance? I don't know if Amanda did. Everybody else went and danced in there a little bit. I did not.
You were the only one.
I'm not going to do it.
Are you drumming at this time? Are you banging the drum? You're still banging the drum?
You know, it was very relaxing. I was banging the drum. It was really cool. It was really freeing. It was a zero judgment zone.
Okay.
Everybody, all types of people, all walks of life were dancing and celebrating and sharing space. And it was very positive.
Okay.
You just have to... just go with it, you know, if you went and danced in there, they would dance with you. It's just, you cannot mind body contact and you cannot mind like old man armpit hair in your face.
Okay.
If you're okay with that, they're okay with you, you know, like that's just how it's going to go. It was really loud.
All right. So let me ask you this.
Okay.
What time is this now?
This is getting closer to 9.
So now it's dark.
Yeah.
Downtown Delray, anywhere in South Florida, by the way, after 9 p.m., after 8 p.m., things could turn very quickly.
Sketchy, yeah.
Yeah, they get sketchy real fast.
Yeah.
So this is like 9. Now, how long did you stay, by the way? What time did you guys leave?
Let's say we got there like around 6, 6:30. I think we left around 9:30. That might have been maybe 9:45.
Now, was it wrapping up or was
it
this thing going to be going?
It was just longer? Getting started.
It was just getting started
like,
at 9:30.
People were, we were feeling a little bit like, I don't know, it's like dark, you know, we're women. I don't know. Like, you know,
were you feeling a little unsafe?
We did. I'm going to be honest. We did. I think that's because not the drum circle at all.
Right.
The drum circle people were amazing. I feel like you could have put your wallet down. And nobody would have taken it
right.
if it was the drum circle crew.
Right.
I mean, by the way, there were babies. There were people dancing with, like, infants and
in
stuff.
In the drum circle?
Yeah, and maybe just because I'm a mom. I'm like, where's your earplugs? But then Jules is like, they're just hippie babies. It's okay. And I'm like, they're just hippie babies.
Was she begging the tambourine
She's
when she said
She's got a
it?
Tiny tambourine. Okay. She's like, it's okay. They're just hippie babies. Like, I'm like, okay. I'm like, okay. So my anxiety was acting up a little bit because, you know, you just, I don't know if other moms are like me. You just see things. You're like, okay. But the vibe of the drum circle people, amazing. The vibe, that's like that circle. But then there's like a circle around
another circle.
And then around it.
Oh.
And that's where you can kind of feel like just the city vibes, kind of what happens after a certain hour. It's downtown Delray. It can get a little bit like, eh, you know. And we were parked in like a dark parking garage and we're like, it's time to go. You know, like we just had that feeling. I think it's because we were women, honestly.
Yeah.
We're just like women and we have to get to our car ourselves, and you know, you got to be safe. And I, you know, that's just like a feeling. Unfortunately, right. That happens. I think if we were with men.
That was going to be my question.
Okay.
Okay. Like
it would have been different.
You dragged me to that town bath.
Yeah.
You know what happened there.
Yeah.
What if I went to this? Should I go to this? Yeah. You said it's every Wednesday. Should I go next Wednesday?
I think everyone should go because it's so, I don't know if you'd last that long.
Like, would I be able to make it through?
The drum sound might drive you insane.
Yeah, that could.
Because it is like a consistent beat.
Like a Taylor Swift song.
But if we had had some guys there, we would have stayed later. I'm like pretty sure.
You would have stayed. Okay.
Yeah.
Do you think like I would have just, other than the pounding of the drum, would I have thought it was like funny? Or?
You would have had your wallet in your front pocket. You would have been like, Megan,
was there enough
watch your purse. I don't know.
But there was enough personal space that I would have been okay.
No, there's no personal space.
There's no
like personal where space. I was standing, there was.
Yeah.
But like, if you want to really get in it, there's. If you want to participate fully in the drum circle, it is body on body.
Okay, so I'm probably not. That's not for me.
You're not going to participate in the drum circle. That's not happening. Okay. But the people who were drumming, like, man, they were like sweating. They'd go for hours just doing this.
Okay.
I mean, I think they really release a lot. It felt like people releasing things together. Like the dance. I know I'm joking. Like, people were releasing something. Like it was an exercise in just letting stuff leave you
go. Would you do it again?
I would totally go again.
You would go again.
Yeah, okay. I'd go again.
But you need me to go.
No, I'd go again. I'd probably leave a little earlier.
It seems like it just gets starting around 9:30.
I know. I liked it when it was a little bit more light out. I'm indigo, yeah. You know. Plus, you know, can't stay out too late.
Would it be better like on the beach or something?
I think it would have been cool on the beach.
That'd be cool.
But
right?
Then Jules, the sacrifice, said she found one in Miami. On the beach.
Oh, that could be terrifying.
And she sent us pictures. and that got real naked.
That was, okay.
Yeah.
That
was, I think like the Florida thing is there's going to be some nudity.
You're very sweet and all. And you left at 9:30. If you would have stayed to past 10, everyone there would have been Jumanji. It would have been a Jumanji fest.
It was the vibe. Yeah. I mean,
come on.
I get that. Yeah. Like, I feel like...
Like, you wouldn't even know it. Things would have happened to you. You wouldn't even have known. It would be like 3 days later. You'd be like, Scott, I think this happened. And I'd be like, what? What is it? And then you like preface it. You'd be like, well, first let me just preface this. Let me slow, what is it? Slow launch
things?
Soft launch this to you.
When you have a red, you have to soft launch.
Yeah, you soft launch it to me. Well, I was there. Didn't mean anything. The guys, I don't know, with hair in his armpit.
I think I don't know, I had a relationship with somebody's armpit hair.
Yeah.
Something happened.
Exactly. And there I am, you know, getting redder and redder. I'm like, fine.
I'm going to be honest with you. Like, people who went to this, I don't know how often they're showering. So,
well, hopefully sometime between Wednesday and Wednesday, because they're probably coming every Wednesday.
It's a hippie crew.
Yeah.
Let's say that. It's a hippie crew. A lot of turquoises.
Not a turquoise.
A lot of purples. I would say those would be a lot of greens. Believe it or not, a lot of greens.
A lot of greens. Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah, because they love the drums. Yeah. And they're really, I think, into kind of, you know, the ceremony of it.
Okay.
It was really cool.
Well, speaking of ceremonies.
Yes.
I wonder how that fire ceremony went in Jamestown, PA.
I know.
And we haven't had anyone
report back.
But if, again, I'm going to put this out there one more time. If you went to the Jamestown, PA Solar Eclipse Fire Festival, please let us know how
it went. What was it called?
Like Fire Nation, Fire.
No, it was like fire, fire, Sacred Fire.
Fire, Sacred Fire.
Yeah.
Fire, Sacred Fire. Probably a lot of these people that do the drum circle thing they probably made the trek.
It's probably like the same thing.
Yeah, same.
So in conclusion, I feel like drum circles are amazing and they attract awesome people. I think you have to have them in the right context.
Okay.
For me, I think maybe like in a city setting. I don't know. You know what I mean? I think it would be better like in a park or at a beach or maybe in the woods or something. That's my thought.
All right. Maybe, you know, I'm open to things.
Well,
I'm spiritually awakened. I'm willing to go.
I did notice a lot of people kind of just walked around it. So it was other people weren't really into it, but it's in the middle of everything. So you could go out to eat, kind of walk by with your gelato. Yeah. Like, oh, cool. What an interesting thing to see. And then move along.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I think I definitely want to go there and, you know, bring one of those kid drums. I don't, I'm not getting in the pit, though, whatever you call that.
The
I'm not
pit.
Getting in the middle. Yeah. Or, yeah, literally, you know, I'm not getting in anyone's pit.
From what I understood from Stephanie Casey and Jules, I think it's a rush. It's a rush.
It's a rush.
It's a rush to get in the pit.
They love, so
because you literally
it.
Get in pits.
Yeah, you get in the pit. That's what I was, that was what I was trying to say.
In the pit,
yeah,
in the armpit.
In the pit. Yeah.
Of a lot of taller guys than you, they're like, ha, 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 here's my arm hair in your face.
I don't get the ha, ha, ha thing.
Oh, yeah, that's a thing.
That's a thing.
They're all at the same time, everybody at the same time, like arms up, and they were like, ha, ha, ha. They were just, it was crazy. It was really cool to see. It was like, wow. Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
Interesting.
Anyways, on that note.
On that note. Well, we're for bored on a Wednesday.
Well, this podcast is for you and about you. And we're so glad you spent some time with us today.